Welcome to the AP Now podcast, the podcast that covers trends, insights, and emerging issues impacting every accounts payable function. Your host, Mary Schaefer, is the founder of AP Now, a B2B digital information and learning company focused on all issues related to AP. Stay tuned as Mary and her guests discuss the business intelligence you need to ensure a cost-effective, technologically efficient, fraud-resistant, regulatory-compliant accounts payable function. Without further ado, let's dive right in.
Welcome to episode 15 of the AP Now podcast. I'm Mary Schaefer from AP Now, and I'm really happy to have with me on this episode Rob Unger from NACHA. He's here today to talk to us about some new initiatives from NACHA. Today's show is brought to you by Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation. Welcome, Rob, and thanks for coming on the show. Today, if you don't mind, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about NACHA.
Sure, Mary, and thanks for inviting me to be on the podcast. Very excited here.
Good.
So NACHA really is very important in people's lives, and I think most people know about NACHA maybe by direct deposit. So a lot of people out there who get paid, they may not get paid enough, but they
right.
get paid. Hopefully they get paid electronically via direct deposit, and that is really a signature ACH payment. So NACHA is a nonprofit governing body for the Automated Clearinghouse Network. The ACH network is a bank network the banks use to clear and pay payments amongst each other on behalf of their clients, whether it's direct deposit or maybe you have money taken out of your checking account every month for a car payment. Businesses use the ACH to pay vendor payments or tax payments. It's a very large network of payments. It encompasses maybe, 25 billion transactions, 50 trillion with a T dollars per year flows through the network for all these different kinds of payments. Now, what NACHA does as the regulator, we don't touch any of the payments, but we develop the rules that define how everyone uses the ACH network so there's interoperability. Whether it's for direct deposit of payroll or a vendor payment, we define the roles, the warranties, the data formats, and all the conditions around using the ACH to affect any of those payments. So our traditional mission is to develop the rules for the ACH network, to enforce the rules, and to educate people on how to use ACH payments and electronic payments in general. That's our main mission at the moment.
Okay. And am I correct in saying that your customers are the banks, not folks like me and you or companies?
Yeah. So anyone who uses the ACH is really a customer because everyone's bound by the rules. So in our revenue model, if that's what you mean by customers, in our revenue model, certainly, we provide certifications around ACH. Mm-hmm. We have conferences, we have webinars, we have membership programs. And so our members and our customers include banks, financial payment companies, fintechs, and companies as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That makes a lot of sense. One of the things that I like talking to you about is NACHA has had some innovative programs in the last few years. And I'm wondering today if we can talk about two of them. And I'd like to start talking about, we talked about the directory and some of the problems that it's supposed to address.
Yeah. Thanks, Mary. You're right. This is no longer your father's NACHA. Whereas before, as a nonprofit, we typically focused on, enforcing the rules, developing rules around the network, education. We're now developing software and partnering with organizations out there to really try to make it easier to use ACH payments and electronic payments. And what we're doing, Mary, is we're going after some of the hardest problems and some of the greatest friction points when you think about accounts payable and accounts receivable processes. So what I'd like to do is talk about two initiatives in particular that we think are going to be really helpful for companies. Mm-hmm. Where we're partnering with fintechs and banks and whatnot to really simplify some long-standing problems. And so one, Mary, has to do around the vendor master. I'm sure you've been educating your audience for a long time about how important the vendor master is, and in terms of the procure to pay process and in terms of to mitigate fraud and whatnot. And there's a lot of friction when we're trying to onboard new suppliers, right, Mary? You've got to get their information, their W-9 information, got to get their payment details. You have to get compliance information, maybe insurance. There's all kinds of things, information sources that have to go into developing this vendor master record. Mm-hmm. Well, that takes time. We hear from some of the accounts payable networks that we work with, that can be 2 or 3 weeks to onboard a vendor.
Yep.
You have to check the information, verify that it's accurate, there's been no fraudulent or mm-hmm. shenanigans going on between the communication. And then what happens if a supplier changes some information that maybe they change a contact or maybe they do a big change like a bank account?
Oh my God!
They've got a main patient, so it's a really really complex problem. And I know you've been educating mm-hmm. your audience on that for a while. So Mary, what we're thinking here is we're looking to deploy what we call the Business Payments Federated Directory, the BPFD.
Okay.
So Mary, what we're looking to do, we're not looking to create a big database in the sky where you can go and get this information. But this notion of federation is can we provide a link? Can we provide some interoperability among trusted sources where we could find out and share information that would help with the vendor onboarding? So imagine this: I'm working in accounts payable. I've got a purchase order, or I'm setting up a new vendor, and I've got to get their information. And I'm searching to see if that vendor is already in my vendor master. I do the search. It's not in the vendor master. Suppose I hit another button and say, search the Business Payments Federated Directory, this blockchain, if you will, that connects trusted sources. And it's asking, hey, who out there has information for this vendor? And will you let this buyer have your information? So it's a way to facilitate that information exchange, leveraging technology, leveraging trusted sources, leveraging blockchain, so that I can easily onboard new suppliers in a trusted way without having to make multiple phone calls mm-hmm. and search emails and that kind of thing.
So let me ask you two questions about this. Number one, the million-dollar question, is it going to contain bank account numbers?
No, it will not contain bank account numbers. So the directory, if you will, in the Business Payments Directory, is really a registry. So when you're looking for ABC supplier, it's going to say, hey, is ABC supplier's information out there among the trusted sources somewhere? Mm-hmm. And if it is, who has that information? And then based on you coming from a trusted source, there's a call that goes out to whoever has that information. And then that information is shared between the trusted nodes. The registry also has a hash of that information. So it doesn't have the account information in the clear. It has a hash of that information. And that hash can be checked by both parties to make sure nothing's, remiss has gone on in the middle there. So that's what provides that security layer, if you will, when that information is ultimately exchanged between two trusted parties.
Okay. My second question had to do with how are you going to convince people to give you the bank account numbers, but since it won't contain that, I guess that's a non-issue for you.
Yeah, we really don't. Yeah, that's kind of a no-no.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's the information everybody wants, but nobody wants to give, unfortunately.
Exactly, and it's hard to get and hard to maintain, and so. That's from, your audience is mostly the accounts payable mm-hmm. side. They got to go out and get information. Mm-hmm. Put on your accounts receivable hat for a moment. And I know at NACHA, we're not a large organization, but we get multiple requests from accounts payable vendors, accounts payable portals for NACHA to join these
right.
portals.
Yes.
So that takes resources,
Mm-hmm.
So when vendor calls and, hey, join our portal, and another vendor calls and they don't interoperate.
No.
And so we have to replicate our information in all these different directory sources. Well, imagine now our accounts receivable team could populate, one trusted node mm-hmm. that could then interact with the other nodes. It'd be a lot simpler in terms of providing that information. It'd be a lot simpler in terms of maintaining that information if not just information were to change and we wanted to alert our customers mm-hmm. about that.
So you could be the central point and feed into all the portals.
That's what, yeah. So we're not looking to replace any portals, but how do we provide an interoperability layer among these trusted sources so we can exchange information in a secure way.
Okay, that's pretty interesting. We need to take a moment to have a word from our sponsor, and then I'd like to come back and talk to you about another interesting initiative NACHA has going on, but I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Okay.
Now a word from our sponsor. AP professionals know invoices are easy to lose, and it takes time to track down approvers while also having to code, log, cross-reference, verify, reconcile, and cut checks, all while staying compliant. Stamply simplifies all that. When invoices enter the system, Stamply's AI, called Billy the Bot, immediately gets to work by proposing GL codes, approvers, and flagging issues like PO mismatches and potential duplicates. AP simply confirms the information is correct and submits the invoice for approval. Here's the best part. Stamply fixes the disconnected communication between approvers, accounts payable, and vendors. With Stamply, conversations are centered around each invoice, and anyone can be invited to the conversation, getting to an approval decision up to 5 times faster. Visit stamply.com/APnow. See for yourself how your team can work smarter, not harder. That's stamply.com/APnow. Okay. And now let's talk about same-day ACH. I thought this was really an innovative move. Can you explain to the audience what it is, and then we can talk a little bit about how it's gone over with the business community?
Sure, Mary. Well, same-day ACH is a payment option people have to make payments faster than we'll call it regular ACH. Mm-hmm. So. In regular ACH, again, whether it's direct deposit of payroll or vendor payments or tax payments, if you make a payment today and authorize that payment today, the payment generally settles the next day, right? So same-day ACH is an opportunity for companies to make a payment today and have it be received and credited today, provided they meet certain windows that their bank will set for them. So it's a great opportunity when you think about emergency or other kind of time critical payments. It's a good option to make that payment more immediately than a regular ACH.
And how this first came out, you started to the program in 2016. How has the business community embraced it, if you will?
You know, it was slow at first, and as people became more aware of it, as you know, software vendors and AP systems began to promote it, growth has really taken off. I mean, we've seen same-day ACH volume has increased 20%, 24% in first quarter 2019 over 2018. So we're seeing a lot of uptake here with same-day ACH.
Okay. And now one last question, if you don't mind. When the same-day ACH first came out, I read a lot of places that $25,000, that was the limit, that was it. And now I hear talk about the limit's going to be raised to $100,000. Is there any truth to that?
That's right, Mary. Initially, as a way to sort of, you know, make sure we had the velocity checks in place and we weren't going to expose companies to any further increased risk of fraud and whatnot, we decided to cap the initial limit at $25,000, but that limit is being raised to $100,000, and that is effective March 20th, 2020. So as of that date, companies will be able to send payments up to $100,000 using same-day ACH.
And is it going to be a phased approach? Because I know with same-day you did first credits and then debits, or will it be across the board?
Across the board, yeah, we're fully fully up and running, and then we're expanding. Also, there'll be a new window for when companies can submit an instruction for a same day ACH payment. So it's getting more robust by the moment here.
Okay, and same day ACH, at least initially, was just for domestic payments. Is it still just for domestic payments?
Yeah, the United States ACH is just for domestic payments. Now, the Federal Reserve and some other companies do have what we call international mm-hmm. ACH, but due to the complexities of going, you know, from the U.S. ACH to another currency's ACH, whether it's the European Union or mm-hmm. Brazil or China, you know, every company has their own ACH.
Right.
You cannot use same-day ACH for international payments.
Okay. All right. And so then I'm sure the question in everybody's mind is, do you think the $100,000 will ever be raised?
It could be. I don't know that there's that looking at that right now, but
Okay.
it's certainly a possibility. I think as we gain experience and hear from the community, you know, there are no limits on regular ACH
Right.
payments in terms of what the system will support. There are limits, of course, in terms of, you know, what your bank might
Right.
underwrite or that, but there's no limits on the system support. So I'm sure that, you know, that's the nice thing about NACHA and the rules function. You know, you think about a credit card network, it's pretty hard to impact those rules.
Right.
But as we hear from the community, as the community expresses their interest to the banks and the fintechs, you know, we have a process
Right.
for having rules evolve. So if there's significant interest and, you know, there's a business case and there's no increased risk, you know, that could happen, that limit could be raised.
Yeah. I know I recommend people use same-day ACH to replace wires. And even if they're making a rush payment and they're writing a check and then they're overnighting it, I believe it's still cheaper, to be crass about it, to use same-day ACH.
I mean, that makes sense to me.
Okay. Do you have anything else you want to add before we close off this very interesting chat?
No, appreciate the opportunity, Mary, and happy to follow up with anyone should they have any questions.
Okay, and that's Rob Unger at NACHA. Okay, thanks, everyone, for listening to this AP Now podcast. A special thanks for Rob for coming and joining us, as well as our sponsor, Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation. If you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate this episode, review this episode, subscribe to the series, or even better, share it with your community on LinkedIn, Facebook, and your staff, or wherever you feel appropriate. To be alerted to new episodes, please visit www.ap-now.com and sign up for a free twice-a-week e-zine. It also contains tips and news of upcoming AP Now webinars, article postings, and, of course, future podcasts. Thanks, Rob. I hope you'll come back again and talk with us in the future. And thanks, everyone, for listening. See you on another podcast. Mm-hmm.